As I said, our announcements, it's good to see everybody out this morning. We have a number of visitors. We thank for your presence. And some people may think that this lesson was specifically tailored just for, you know, like one person, like, and not to name his name, although John is still talking about. However, that's not true. There's two other people right in front of you this also can apply to. And not only that, but also when I look around, I see this row over here of young people and that one there. And I see Brady's three up there, and maybe Avery's a little bit young for this, but and then Kyan over there. And so I named all the names to try to embarrass all of you. But really, as you think about this, this lesson pertains to all of us as far as husbands and wives. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Are the roles of husband and wives. As you look about this, realize that there's a lot of people today who really do not understand the sacred nature of the marriage institution or the marriage relationship. That they don't really think much about the fact that God created it, and our society has tried to do a number of things with it. And some people try to simply ignore the relationship, and others have kind of now try it again, redefine who it pertains to. But I think everybody can agree with the fact that people are in good marriages are happy. Husbands and wives, when they get married, they want to be happy. They want to have a good life together. But I don't really know anybody that says, I'm going to get married and, you know, I think we're going to be miserable while we're doing it. That's not the attitude I have with it. There may be some people in Hollywood, and a few others may have the idea that, you know, it's really not that big a deal, and really not that important a relationship, but it is. And again, it pertains to our happiness. And so it's in our best interest to understand it and to try to work together in that relationship. As we look at the marriage institution or relationship, we find in the very beginning, Genesis first chapter, as God created man in verse chapter 1, verse 26 said, and God said, let us make man our image and go according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Again, showing the unique nature that man and woman has in creation, that unlike any other creature, that we are truly made in God's image with a spiritual side, with a soul, and with the ability to reason and function. And we don't act just by instinct. And then if you go on in the second chapter, they talks about the fact in chapter 2, verse 22, and said, in the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made to a woman, and brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they should become one flesh. As with this relationship, just keep in mind that God made her for a purpose. And I didn't put up there on the chart, but you notice in chapter 2 also that points out there was not anyone or anything suitable or comparable to Adam. And that's why he made Eve. And so when he made Eve, though, he made a companion. And a companion, man is a social creature. We need people around us. We need to be able to communicate. We need to be able to not be alone all the time. And a marriage is a relationship where you're going to spend time together, where you're going to have to important things as far as talking together and being able to function together. And you look and spend and realize that it's necessary to have time together to create that bond with each other. When I was doing a funeral a number of years ago, it was one of the first funerals I did where one spouse had passed away and the other one was still alive. And as I was getting ready for the funeral, the family allowed me to see the mom had passed away, and they allowed me to see her writings. And she wrote poetry, and she simply wrote little stories about her children, her husband. And they allowed me to see those things. I read a few of them during the ceremony or during the funeral. But one thing that occurred to me as I was looking at all those things was how the fact is that they had been married for about 40 or 50 years. And that marriage is something that you build day by day. It's a relationship that will continually evolve as you go through your life, as you have your children, as you see your children grow up, as you see each other maybe grow up also and grow older, that it is a growing relationship and never to actually become stagnant. And a companionship is part of that, of having somebody to share your life with. Also, marriage is one of cooperation. And that is, as far as working together, that you find couples sometimes bickering and fighting against each other, always trying to outdo each other and compete with each other. And you realize that that's a terrible kind of relationship to have. And that you have to be able to have the same goals. That Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And therefore, they have to have cooperation with each other. There's one where she is compared to or taught to as being a helper. Some translations will have help meet, and others will have the idea of one, again, suitable for him. But the idea, again, is to be working together and not be a hindrance to each other. And then not only that, but also marriage is one in which she is suitable for man. And again, female here talked about, she is suitable for man. Not two men together, not two women together. But what that means is that there was not anything else that compared to Eve as far as man was concerned. And as you read through the Bible, we find that there are various passages that talks about the virtues of marriage, the blessings of marriage. One of those passages of Proverbs 18, verse 22. And there it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord. And that is something that is sought after, something that, again, you have been blessed with if you have a good spouse, if you have a good wife or a good husband. And we should never forget that. But as you look at that creation of marriage, we can go over in the New Testament. And I want you to notice here, and that Peter, in his writings about marriage, talks about this as far as the cooperation of marriage. At 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, he says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they with that word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Now notice here again the influence, the power of your example to your husband. There are a lot of times you may simply by your example of being a Christian, of being a good spouse, be able to do a lot more than actually the words that you speak. And so he said that that may be won by the conduct of the wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arraying the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. And he's not saying it's wrong to have those things, but he's saying those things are simply superficial. They're outward things that people may see. A lot of times men, as they look at a woman, they look at that wife, they may see the beauty, outward beauty of her. But really, he said, that, and that's okay to have outward beauty, but he's saying, however, really what's more important, and what he will realize later on as the years go by, is what's inside that really matters. And so he goes on, he says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, former times of holy women, trusting in God, also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. And so as a contrast, that our adornment, he's saying, here's what really matters. Again, the inward person he's talking about here. And he gives us the example of Sarah talked about. In order to do these things, and I realize when I look at this, I'm looking at it from a point of view of man. And I realize that from a woman's point of view, you may see this a lot differently than I would. However, as you look at these things, keep in mind that one thing this requires, he's talking about, is submission, an attitude of being submissive to your husband. Submission is a yielding to. Literally, the idea is to give the right of way to somebody else. That's why we have yield signs on the highway. And what that means is that when you have that yield sign, if there's another vehicle coming, you actually have to stop and you allow the other vehicle to take place or to go ahead of you. And he said inside the marriage relationship that it has to be a yielding to one another. And specifically here, a yielding to the wife or the wife yielding to her husband. Over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse 33, says, nonetheless, let each one of you in particular So love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. One of the reasons I think this is so important is passage. One of the words so important is that word respect there. It's hard to yield to somebody that you do not respect. In fact, it's really hard to love somebody that you don't respect. There's a guy that used to be on the radio called Dr. Dobson. And Dr. Dobson had a program called Focus on Family. One time I was listening to him, and he was talking about when he started in college. He kind of went to college, and he was kind of known as already being a pretty good scholar. But there's this young lady on the campus, and he said she was really a pretty lady, and they got to know each other, and they got to dating. He said that he considered them basically to be engaged, and also she broke it off. And he said it just broke his heart. And in fact, he said, and it really hurt him. But he said he did not try to pursue her anymore. A year or two later, she called him up. And she actually got back in touch with him. And said that they started dating again. And eventually she got married. They got married. And that became, and obviously became his wife. And however, he explained, he said, while a lot of people said, well, why didn't you chase after her? If you were so in love with her, why didn't you go after her? He said, because she would not have respected me. He said, you cannot love somebody you don't respect. And I think that's true then, as you look at life. That it's hard to love somebody you don't respect. It's hard to yield to somebody you don't respect in their life. We may do that occasionally. If you're in the army, you yield to authority, whether you respect it or not. But inside the marriage here, you yield because you respect the other person. And that requires us to have the right attitude involved in it. As he talks about this, Ephesians 5:21, he says, submitting to one another, fear of God, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And there the idea of submission is talked about again. And what that means is the idea of service. The idea of serving one another is involved in that passage here. And that means, again, literally to put yourself under the authority of somebody else. And again, that's hard to do. And just as it's hard sometimes for the husband to yield to the wife. Each one has to do that. And then also, obedience is talked about here. Over in Ephesians 5, again, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then verse 24 says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands and everything. The comparison being made here is very strong, isn't it? We think about how submissive is the church to Christ. And we talk about Christ is the head of the church. That means we obey what he says to do. We respect his authority. We understand his example and follow his example. And as you look at the relationship inside of the marriage, he's saying to us that there is to be the obedience as far as the wife, again, adorning herself and how she behaves towards her husband. As you think about that, now obedience, again, an attitude. He talks about an attitude of gentleness, doesn't he? When you look over here, and that is not 1 Peter 3:3. Do not let your adornment be barely outward, wearing hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. But let it be the hidden person of the heart. That's the part that's hard to see, but eventually it comes out. You may be able to fool somebody for a while, but if you live that person, they get to know who you really are. They get to really know what your attitude is. So he says, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, it doesn't mean that she can't have a voice or she can't sometimes tell you what she thinks. But what it means is, again, is an attitude of gentleness she has towards her husband. And that requires some things. One is activity of service that he mentions to us. As you look and think about 1 Peter 3:5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trust in God also adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. His daughters, you are, if you do good, are not afraid with any terror. Sarah followed Abraham. Sarah worked with Abraham. And while they were not perfect, they were an example to be used as far as husband and wife being on the same page, working together. What he talks about here. Now that's from the point of view so far of the wife, isn't it? But we go on a little bit, we see also men and husbands. And verse 7, and somebody said, oh dear, we got 6 verses talking about the wife and then 1 verse about the husband. Well, you look here at this verse here, and he said, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now there's a lot involved in these few words right here. One is the idea of to dwell with them. And that means to accept the relationship, to live with that person, to dwell with her as said right here. The laws of our country make it very easy for people to live together without the benefit of marriage. And if they do get married, if something happens that is wrong or they think that they're not happy anymore, to just leave that marriage. I can remember when it used to be that to get a divorce, you had to have a reason. Now, there's only about 3 reasons allowed in order to get a divorce. One was mental cruelty, the other was physical cruelty, and the other one was unfaithfulness. Nowadays, if you go to a court and tell somebody that I want a divorce and give any one of those reasons, they'll say we don't care. You don't have to have a reason anymore. And that's because there's a lack of commitment a lot of times, really in marriage today, is one of the things that's promoted. And so when he says to dwell with her, it means to actually live with that person, be committed to that other person. As you look at this relationship again, you realize that our society has tried to change the idea of who you live with and how long you live with that person. Some people have tried to redefine the marriage relationship to include more than one other person. Remember when Ken Welver was here last year, 2 years ago, and he talked about a couple that was in a newspaper, and they had titled him the luckiest man alive. And the reason is he was living with 2 women. And there are some people who say, well, we're going to try that kind of relationship. Others say, we're going to have an open marriage, that kind of relationship. What he says, though, is you dwell with